It's Canuck Central in the Kintech studio. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Yes, a Friday. Getting ready for the weekend. A weekend in which we'll give you full-slated Canucks coverage. Canucks and LA Kings on Saturday. And, of course, the Canucks and Anaheim Ducks on Sunday. Today, we've got Yannick Hansen coming up, Harmon Dial as well, after 5 o'clock in hour 2 of the show. But we're going to do things a little bit different here on a Friday. I don't know. Maybe it's the March Madness season. But we've just decided we're going to start the show with the mailbag today.
We're just... Well, you know what?
Let's mailbag.
Let's just mailbag.
Let's do it. Hit the music. I thought the music was going to come in earlier. It's okay. Victor, he's new here.
Victor's got it. I know.
We're all learning on the spot.
And then I was thinking about Josh Elliott Wolf and something he said earlier, and I just... We're leaving it for now, but there might be a question.
Josh's face is still red for how many...
We learn about countries.
Mistakes
he made.
We learn
about geography. We learn about flags.
Yes.
You're like...
It doesn't matter what age.
It's like you're on that TikTok channel where, like, you know, people are getting interviewed at Mardi Gras, and they're like, so, what city is... or what state is Canada in? New Mexico?
Yeah. And I always laughed at them, too, and now, you know what?
Now you're that guy.
I respect them a little bit.
Yeah. You're that guy, pal. You're that guy. All right, so the mailbag. You give us questions. Sat prompts you for questions. You send them in. We answer as many as we can over the next 20 or so minutes about your Vancouver Canucks, mostly about your Vancouver Canucks, and then whatever else may come along through the day. All right.
First one comes from Canucks House. Barring any buyout, if the Canucks keep OEL, what kind of right shot defenseman do the Canucks need to pair with him? Do they need an offensive type, defensive type? If it's going to be Hronek, then what should they target for Hughes?
Mm-hmm. I think this is like the question of the offseason in terms of the defense, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it also like assumes a couple things. One is that Tyler Myers might get moved, that you're assuming. And the other one is Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, are you thinking of them being your third pair of guys, which means what are you doing with Ethan Bear and those other players, right? So I think it assumes a lot of things, and a lot of things have to happen. But ideally, for Quinn, do we already know what the template is, pretty much, for an ideal defenseman for him, if it's not Hronek?
It's better Luke Shen.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Tanev.
Chris Tanev would work. He's got a year left on his deal, so probably not going to happen there. Like, how do you find it? Well, this is, I mean, easier said than done. But go find a young Chris Tanev. How many great, like, defensive defensemen are there in the NHL these days?
I'd say very few. I mean, it's becoming one of the more rare commodities in the NHL. It really is, right? Like, and even when Samuelson got paid in Buffalo, people were like, why is this guy getting paid a big, you know, defensive defenseman who has some physicality to his game? It's because there barely are any who can skate and actually move the puck decently and do all those things. It's guys are coming up to the league because they can skate well, move the puck well. That's kind of the baseline now of making it to the NHL, and that's something you have to kind of have. And guys who are really focused on honing in on their defensive game, it's almost not as much value in doing that coming up through the ranks, so there are fewer of those guys. It's hard to find. Like, a really good one's hard to find. You end up overpaying for some guys who are kind of adequate. Like, Gavrikov, for instance. Now, his numbers haven't been great in Columbus, and obviously it's better, you know, around a better team with the LA Kings, for instance. But he's a type of player who's pretty good, but he's not great. But do you have to pay a little bit more for good defensive D because they don't exist?
Isn't that where you get yourself into trouble, though? When you start paying those guys too much?
Kind of. At the same time, depends on who you play them with. Like Brandon Carlo. I know when his name came up, and I think he's actually an ideal defenseman for Quinn Hughes, and if people look at it and they're like, wait, you're talking about a guy who's had some concussion issues, which obviously is a concern, but that's obviously another part of things. But in terms of just player type, right defenseman, big, physical, and one of the best, if not the best, defensive defenseman in the NHL. Now, he's a black hole offensively. He can make a simple pass, though, but he's a black hole. He doesn't do anything offensively. But do you worry about that when you have Quinn? If anything, you have your safety net. So I think that type of player could be a great fit alongside a guy like Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, and it's tough because you don't want somebody that's so poor offensively that it takes away from Quinn Hughes. I think that's... And obviously Brandon Carlo's a better player than Tucker Pullman, but when Pullman in his first year did play with Hughes a little bit, it didn't really work, and it brought Hughes down. So it's not a black and white answer, but those players are incredibly difficult to find. That's what we do know.
Dell, Lucas Forssell, is he worth getting excited about? He seems very underrated by Canucks fans.
2 goals and an assist today in his first SHL playoff game of the season. Finished the year strong as well. We've talked about Forssell a little bit in some of our Prospect Central episodes.
Yeah.
Even going back to last year when we talked about the prospect pool and Sat, you had mentioned Forssell as somebody that is not highly thought of, but does have some real potential in him. You mentioned Myrenberg in that as well, and mm-hmm. he was since traded. But there looks like there could be a player there. It's still a very long project with Lucas Forssell, though.
Yeah, it really is. It's something that's going to take some time still, but the progress he's made is pretty remarkable, and it looks like he's a guy who at some point is going to get a chance to play. That's just his projection, and who knows what happens the next year or so, but if he continues this track, he's going to play NHL games. The question is, what is he going to do once he gets to the National Hockey League? But when we spoke about him, one of the things you kind of heard about his game is that he's pretty dynamic, he's a smart player, and his shot is just... He's got something with that shot of his, right? And if you have those traits and you move well and you're cerebral, things will usually align for you at some point to get a shot, right? So I think he's a guy that's really growing up the ranks. I think by next season, we might start talking about when does he sign in terms of coming over here and maybe coming through Abbotsford and how willing is he to do something like that? Because he's probably one of those Swedes who doesn't want to come over and spend 2 or 3 years in Abbotsford. But given how this new regime wants to develop players, is he willing to spend a year there, much like Linus Karlsson is?
Still just 19 years old. Will turn 20 later this year in September. But to have 11 goals in the SHL as a 19-year-old in just 35 games, that's pretty impressive.
It is. And if he spends one more year there next year and like takes a step and plays really well, then you're setting yourself up for real success. And given how this organization has been patient, especially with Philip Johansson, not Gustafsson, the goalie, but Johansson, the defenseman, the righty they signed, they're willing to let him stay one more year in Sweden, even though he was on a contract, because they thought that was best for his development.
We all get things confused sometimes.
Yeah.
Webby, is Jake Livingston a realistic target for the Canucks? And if they signed him, how would the Canucks play out how would it play out for this season? What pairing would they play him on?
Would it be like a Josh Tevez type thing, you know? Like you just kind of get a couple of games in. I know there's a lot of excitement about a Jake Livingstone. Does have more of a pedigree here than a Josh Tevez did. 6'4", right shot defenseman. Seems like the perfect fit for the Vancouver Canucks organization. Is a BC kid as well. Played with the Langley Rivermen just a couple of years ago and has been at Minnesota State University. Look, it makes a ton of sense. I'm hesitant to overhype any college prospect, and that's where my hesitation comes from.
Yeah, I mean, the question just comes down to a number of different things, right? And in terms of overall upside and expectations. I would always measure expectations because very seldom do college free agents turn out to be star players. And it's pretty incredible because you've seen pretty much every array of it in Vancouver, from the big hit in terms of Troy Stetcher. I mean, sorry, Chris Tanev, who's like one of the best defensive defensemen in the league, top four defenseman.
Is like right there. He and Tyler Bozak are the best college free agent signings in like the cap era.
Pretty much. And I think Tanev would be the best one given the defense. But you're right. Bozak was also a really good player. Those are the guys, right? Everybody else that has kind of jumped ship, were drafted at some point. Billy, you know, like for instance, Jake Gardner was drafted by a different team and ended up making it as a free agent. Or again, they're having his rights traded, and he was pushed.
Adam Fox was drafted and pushed
his way out. There have been guys that have done that, but in terms of completely undrafted players, very seldom do you see them. You've also seen a guy be a huge success story in Troy Stetcher.
Yeah.
Depth defenseman, but a huge success for a guy. And then you've seen the Josh Tevis types, the Brogan Rafferty types.
Yeah.
Where does Jake Livingston kind of fall between those three outcomes? I'd say your best bet is kind of between Troy Stetcher and Chris Tanev, in between that.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, NHL impact. I don't know if you can expect Tanev because that's like the 99th percentile of outcomes. But you get something in between that and Stetcher, which would still be a really good addition if it all hits for him.
Well, and in general, I mean, to find organizational depth on the right side out of nowhere is still incredibly valuable for an NHL team.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
You'll take it any day, yeah, and hope for the best.
As fans, you look at every prospect and, you know, hope that they hit their ceiling, right? But if a team finds a college free agent signing and they become even a sixth or, you know, a quad A type defenseman that comes up and down, that's still valuable for your organization in the overall, especially on the right side of defense.
Yes.
Tristan, barring a lottery win, what caliber of player would you target in a trade that would have to include the Canucks' first-round pick? Is it someone like Sebastian Aho or other?
Yeah, I'd say like that.
We're going big game hunting?
Yeah, and you know, and that's the entire point, you know, we were making in terms of our discussion earlier this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it wasn't really, you know, I mean, we put the clip out there and it turned out, you know, as if we were trying to target Sebastian Aho. But the point was, people are wondering, are the Canucks going to consider trading the first round pick? Now, if the pick doesn't end up being a top 4 or 5 selection, if you were willing to trade it, what would you be willing to trade it for? And my answer to that is a Sebastian Aho type. Now, you'd have to give a lot more in addition to that, but that's the type of player I target. What did the Blackhawks get for DeBrincat? 7th overall pick?
Yep. Derek Stepan went for a 7th overall pick a few years ago.
So, and Aho is a higher caliber player.
Yeah.
But I target the higher caliber players if I'm looking at moving that pick, right? That's what I'm looking at.
Try to hit a home run.
Yeah, and I'm adding more to it. Like, you know, whatever else you have to add. And I'm not saying trade anything, but within reason, I'd be pretty flexible in throwing other assets in outside of draft picks. Like, could you, you know, throw in a couple prospects, a young player can do something different. Like, I'd completely be all over something like that if I'm moving the draft pick. Otherwise, I'm holding on to it.
It's hard to find incredibly high-level players. And Aho is in a unique spot a year out from free agency. They don't become available very often. And generally, you know, a 7th, 8th, 9th overall pick isn't enough to get that level player. As you mentioned, you're still going to have to add more into that kind of a deal. And I'm still of the opinion that because I'm skeptical those types of players become available in trade, that you're not going to find something that's where the juice is worth the squeeze.
Exactly. And the only reason I even mention him is because he's a guy who's a UFA after next season.
Signed the offer sheet with Montreal.
And that doesn't, exactly. It's just kind of
signed.
That
feels like yesterday. It's already been 5 years.
Can you believe it? I mean, time just flies.
4 years?
I mean, the pandemic happened.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, we forgot about what time even means.
Yes.
But, I mean, the last little bit, he's a guy that you would look at and say, okay, is there a possibility? It would have to be a guy who's close to getting to free agency, who has shown signs of maybe not wanting to be at the place he's at.
And that would be potentially Aho. Not too many like that out there.
Bella, how do I smuggle a steak into Rogers Arena for Andre Kuzmenko?
Oof. I mean, we've heard some stories, especially going back to like the Red Wings or Florida Panthers playoff games. Could you imagine, you know, lining up to get into the arena, or you get to your seat at Joe Louis Arena or wherever it might, well, Joe Louis, because they haven't played a playoff game at Little Caesars yet, so it would have to be back at the Joe. You get to your seat for a big time playoff game. Who knows how much money you spent on this seat? You're about to watch Pavel Datsyuk do his thing, and the person in front of you has a squid strapped to their back. It's tough. Just stinking up the joint.
No, it's gross.
Because they're ready to throw something onto the ice.
Yeah, it's gross. But I mean, like, I guess that's what you do in Detroit, whatever. They won a lot of cups. You do you, right? But I'd say, please don't throw.
Yes, don't do that.
Like, I think Kuzmenko was joking. I know Bella is probably kidding, right? Probably the best way to smuggle anything in is probably in your underwear somewhere, right? In general. But because they don't pat you down in that area.
Let's be clear. We are not giving advice.
Not advice. There's a question being asked at a mailbag, but I would highly suggest you don't bring steak or any other meat products to the arena. And if you get caught with it, it will be confiscated and thrown away. So, but don't throw anything like that onto the ice, please. Like, I get like Skittles or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean open the bag of Skittles and chuck, like, you know, as in like a enclosed bag of Skittles.
Trade some Twix if Koozie really wants it. But a steak, like in this economy, you're gonna strap a ribeye to your chest to get it into Rogers Arena. Maybe make a trade with Kuzmenko. I don't know.
Yeah.
Craig, are the Canucks the worst Big Four professional sports franchise since their inception?
Ooh, I mean, they're up there with the least successful because they haven't won anything, right? And you know,
well, I mean, the Buffalo Sabres haven't done any.
The Sabres have done.
They haven't
less.
Even had.
They've been,
you know,
objectively worse in the same amount.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's the point, right? Like, I understand Vancouver hasn't won anything, so they fall into the category of, you know, winless. You know, but there are teams that have. There are franchises that are worse, like in the NHL alone. Yeah. Even look at the Winnipeg Jets, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Even moved the team, came back, like.
Yeah,
is that organization have they had more success than the Canucks have had?
No, you know, look, end of the day, you're always going to be judged on championships. We all know that. Canucks do have a pretty full history of superstar players in this franchise.
Yes,
like how many franchises around the league can say that they've had multiple Hart Trophy and Art Ross winners? A Maurice Richard winner in that time as well. Now we're only talking in the last 30-ish years, going back to when Bure first came into the league. But you know, in that time, you went from Bure to Naslund to the Sedins, and now you've got Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least from an entertainment of getting to watch some of the best players in the league and also going to 3 Stanley Cup finals through the course of your franchise's history, like, it's definitely not something the Leafs can boast about and Leaf fans could boast about. So there are definitely some things that need to be and are celebrated here by Canucks fans.
The Canucks have had at least one, arguably 2 to 3. I'd say the Canucks have had 2, arguably 3 legitimate cup contending capable of winning squads, right?
Yep.
94 and also in 2011. You can also say that West Coast Express era had the potential, but it never kind of came together.
Just didn't have a goalie.
You know, yeah, but like, you know, you were kind of on the fringes or whatever, but obviously a lot of talent. In other sports, I mean, look at the LA Clippers.
Oof.
Detroit Lions?
Yeah.
That's the one that comes to mind for me.
Cleveland Browns. I mean, they have a richer history, but I mean, like, in terms of the past 20-some years, but
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Those
Pirates, yeah.
It's been a while for them.
The Cubs pre-winning a World Series.
Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Jaguars, yeah. I mean,
Sacramento Kings.
The Sacramento Kings
like
are laughable. Yeah. Sacramento Kings are absolutely laughable. The best they ever did was get to, a conference final?
Yes. Vlade Divac and Peja.
And they had a good team. And Mike Bibby.
Yeah.
Former Grizzly.
Man, that's a bad franchise.
Yeah.
Oof. All right.
This one, Jabbo. Should Zach Kassian have waited for the end of his career before getting his teeth fixed? Or at the very least, should he be wearing a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I'd say the mouth guard, yes, absolutely. I mean, the story IMAC had and others had on Ethan Bear, too. He, you know, if he didn't have a mouth guard, how much worse his injury would have been. And he's already been missing time with a pretty bad injury.
His face would have been shattered, they said.
Yeah, so it's pretty rough, right? So for sure, wear it. I'd say this. Whatever makes you happy, do that. Like if you felt unhappy with how your teeth looked, and it was affecting your day to day life, then get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You're rich enough to fix it again if you had to.
Yep.
Ideally, you wait until your career is over. But I'm not going to tell somebody to not do something that would make them happier in life.
Yeah. You want to go out and do it? Go nuts. You're Zach Kassian.
It's It's also Arizona. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's playing as hard as he may have been elsewhere.
It's like, I'm already checking. He probably wants to be on LTIR. Hey, yeah. You guys can LTIR me.
Guys, my ankle is kind of hurting.
Well, they still played harder than the Canucks last night, though. Mm. So.
True.
There you
true.
Go.
Canberra. What's Josh's favorite plank?
Oh, boy.
Okay, Josh.
So, can you explain the flag story for us?
What happened on the
so
People Show?
So the whole last segment prior to this, I stepped in it at least three times.
Oh, man.
So coming back from break, I was like, Dom was playing an Irish tune. And I was like, oh, you know what I saw on my timeline today? Another Irish instrument, bagpipes. Not Irish.
Not Irish.
Not Irish.
Not Irish.
And then...
So that's the first mistake you made.
Yeah, we went on talking
about... So you think bagpipes are... okay, that's bad.
Well, once it was said it was Scottish, I was like, oh, it's definitely Scottish.
Yes.
That was a slip of... That slipped my mind.
Okay.
But this, I was fully confident in this next thing. So we went on talking about Scotland and Ireland, and I was like, well, they're the same. Like, their flags are just reversed.
What?
They are not.
Oh, boy.
Not reversed.
What made you even think that?
I don't know. I had seen what Victor pointed out, Ivory Coast flag.
Ivory Coast and Ireland. Very, very similar.
Their flags,
Ivory Coast and Scotland's flag, very, very different.
Yes.
But Ivory Coast and Ireland are reversed. So I think my brain, I had seen Ivory Coast flag before, and I was like, that's got to be Scotland. They're right beside each other.
Ivory Coast. Yeah.
This is how you know Josh hasn't watched much soccer in his lifetime.
No, that probably would have helped.
He probably would have assisted you a little bit. But it's just the confidence in which you said that.
I was so confident, man.
You're just sure this is the case.
Yeah.
Hey, man. As long as you do things with conviction, sometimes people will believe you.
I almost
convinced
Scotland that their flag was...
Like, sometimes somebody says something with such conviction, and you know they're wrong, but they say it with such belief that you doubt yourself for a moment. Yeah. You're like, wait, am I the one who's wrong here?
Our former fearless leader is very upset with you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless.
He's like, I don't care.
My favorite flag is, it's got to be Switzerland.
Switzerland.
It's big plus.
Yeah.
Big plus.
I always looked at it like as the health flag.
Yeah.
You know?
The health flag?
Yeah.
The medics?
Yes, the medics coming. That's the Switzerland flag.
They cure anything. You know, your health, your well-being, your financials.
Are you guys big into St. Pat's Day?
I mean, I wouldn't say big into St. Pat's Day. I did wear green shoes and a green hoodie.
There you go.
Today.
I wouldn't say I'm super into it anymore.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Especially after today.
I mean, when you're younger, it's just an excuse to go out and get lit, right? So now that I'm old and stuff, that doesn't sound as fun.
Yeah, I don't know. It was one of those things where it was an excuse to get out with friends and have a good time. And when you're younger, it's just a great excuse to go out and have a good time. It just, has just kind of, maybe I've kind of grown out of doing that, to some degree. But a lot of good times have been had on St. Paddy's Day.
Oh,
I think
100%.
We all can attest to that.
Good times that end in many memorable memories.
Yes. Well, or
memories
also,
tend to be memorable.
Yes. That's kind of how they work.
Unmemorable memories as well. Both apply.
We'll end with this one. Chef Swagger, in your opinion, what is the best Irish food?
Oh, boy.
Okay, so
this is where I'm going to pull a Josh.
Yeah, let's name some Irish food. No Googling. Let's name some Irish food.
Not going to lie, we did look into it before. We didn't want to pull a Josh. We figured let's educate ourselves because there're going to be questions related to St. Patrick's Day and Irish food.
Let's nip this pull a Josh thing in the bud before it goes too far.
we might have coined something new pulling a Josh.
My first thought though was bangers and mash, and then I was like, there's no way that's Irish.
No, although mashed potatoes and all that.
So for all the times that I've been to an Irish pub, have I ever actually ordered something Irish on the menu, or do I just get like fish and chips,
burger
or
and
a
fries.
Burger and fries?
More or less, that's kind of
usually what it ends up.
That's usually what you end up getting. Now
chicken wings.
I've had black pudding.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I wouldn't say I love it, but
I don't even
had
know
it.
What it is. What is black pudding?
It's like dried up blood, pretty much, into pudding. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
They have him in Sweden as well. So I've had that before. It's okay. But, I mean, that's pretty much the extent of my real Irish food.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I guess some chowders are Irish. Uh-huh. And I guess if we've had chowder, then I'd say chowder. If that's truly Irish.
Boxty is one of the Irish dishes I've had before.
Yes. Just to save myself here, we got a text saying that... I'm going to mess up the word. Julian pipes are pipes. The national bagpipe of Ireland.
Julian
pipes. So there are bagpipes in Ireland. Therefore, that's what I was talking about.
So you're kind of right about the first thing you weren't confident about.
Don't worry about the second part.
Do you mean forgotten memories? Yes, that's what I meant.
Yes. Memories we forget. It happens.
I wonder why. No, we're not going to get into science sat on that one.
No.
I think it's pretty obvious. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. It's Canuck Central in the Kintec studio. Coming up, Yannick Hansen on Canuck Central.